Morning, everybody. Welcome to a Shot in the Dark podcast, a special discussion-based podcast today, where we're going to be giving our opinions. Our research guru, Gemma, has dropped the research. Jowsey's dropped the examples, and we're having a discussion on nature versus nurture. The podcast has come about with me giving a sweeping statement that I think that genetics plays a very little role in abilities, and that the upbringing and the culture, the environment and the way in which we bring up our children has more of a role in the way they are in a sporting or academia or whatever they turn out to be personality-wise, then it's genetic. And Gemma said, I don't agree with that. Why don't you agree with that, Gemma?
I don't agree entirely with it, because you said, originally, you said that genetics had nothing to do with it and it was entirely being had the way that they're brought up. But I don't agree with that. I think there are certain people and certain children and adults that are more likely to achieve certain things because of their genetics, regardless of how they are nurtured. I don't think that you can just have it that way.
I don't come from good genetics. I had no export. Like, my mum wasn't sporty, my dad wasn't sporty. I did all right at sport.
So how does that mean nature brought you up? If you're like, how
if you could argue that both ways, I couldn't.
Yeah, you can argue it both ways. So because we don't, I don't know. Was it genetics? Because my parents aren't genetically predisposed to be good at sport because they don't really do it. So I have no idea.
But that doesn't mean to say they're not predisposed to be good at sport. It's just that they don't do sport. They could be brilliant. They just don't know.
They don't look like they don't know.
Yeah, but they might have done if they had their parents push them into sport or like
so encourage them. Then.
But no, yes, it's nurtured to a certain extent. But you might be, they genetically might be, like, should have been the next Olympic. I don't know.
I partially agree with you, by the way.
Okay.
Like I am like. Some genetics will help people be.
Exactly.
Potentially more. I think predisposed to be the elite in sport.
Yeah, exactly. Would be my.
Because that could be the difference that's immeasurable.
Yeah. Because you get some people that are just good at all sports, no matter what they do. They just try their hand at it. Like my stepbrother is good at all sports. It's very annoying. But he's genetically good at sports and he's had the nurture to go on and do those things. But I think there's the underlying innate ability to do certain things.
I think it comes down to what if it came, of course I always end up somewhere back with psychology, but what if it just comes back to positive experiences? That, you know, you come home from school and you had a fantastic day, it had something to do with mathematics, and you just get tarnished with that brush that you're good at mathematics, or you had a really bad day kicking a football the first time you kicked a football, and then someone said to you at that point, football's never going to be your thing, and parents are very good at sort of just tarnishing us with a brush or tarnishing their children with a brush and putting them into little boxes and categories. And what if those boxes and those categories are the defining factor in what you're good at and what you're not good at as you grow older?
I see that in work all the time. When I have conversations through people's sporting history, some people they've jumped around sports until they've found something, and the words they often say is like, oh, but this is my sport because this is what I'm good at.
Yeah.
So they actually choose that, what you said there, that positive experience leads them to put more time into it. So do you actually, I find it from a psychological point of view, okay, so do you love your, I know this is going slightly off topic, do you love your sport or do you love being good at your sport?
Absolutely.
So what's it like? Where there's a huge kind of blurred line there. You actually love it because you're good at it, not because you love the,
history
of the sport and what it stands for, what it.
All of us do that, don't we? All of us try and do the things that we're good at, but why are we good at those? We're not good at them because from the start point we were just good at them, unless genetically we were more coordinated or we've got the right length levers to do something. Like, if you look at a sporting example, I've got long arms and legs, I'm never going to be an Olympic weightlifter, no matter how much I do try.
Yeah.
So genetically, I'm predisposed to not being very good at it, even though I could train 6 days a week for hours and hours on end.
Which is obviously what the Chinese are massive at now.
Yeah.
In terms of choosing.
But also pick and select. Exactly.
Choosing people who are predisposed to be good at the sport based off leveraging their advantage.
You can't out train your genetics to be at that elite level if we're talking about it. I mean, you can do it, but.
Is this, though, more applicable, like, in terms of output and performance? Are we talking about sports that I'd class as fitness sports, cycling, weightlifting, the display of swimming, running, the display in endurance and these skills that have more control over them, in a sense of you know the outcome, you know the race, and you can train for it, whereas a team sport or martial arts, yes, you can be good at it, but now you're against another team and you've got lots of external information, so how you input information, output, like how you control that environment influence has a different effect on your ability to elicit skill.
And where are you saying that you develop that from, just experience, or is somebody going to be better at doing that naturally? If that makes sense.
I think what I'm saying is, the genetics are more likely to make a difference.
Okay. Yeah.
In a fitness sport, because it's purely about an output.
Yeah.
Whereas in a team sport, all right, you might have all the capacity to kick a ball really far, but can you cope with external influence of, you've got to see the pass, you've got to be able to.
But again, if you've grown up in that, why wouldn't you? It's the sort of natural thing to do.
So then that's the nature thing then, isn't it? Sorry, the nurture thing,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
So that is the exposure of it.
Yeah.
Which is that's what I'm saying, is that's a nurture environment, whereas nature to an extent might predispose you to fitness, but how you work within a sport, then there's that nurture element.
But I also think that's a personality type as well. So if you're somebody that's on the spectrum of being slightly more introverted, you struggle often to perceive to interpret different types of external stimulus. Whereas if you're more an extroverted person, you're more likely to be able to interpret that stimulus. So maybe you're predisposed to going into a more team sport because of the type of person that you are. And then you develop your skills because you've realised what you're good at. Because some people are generally better at team sports, aren't they? I mean, you can see it in kids. Some kids are better at being in football teams, being in netball teams.
You could also argue that comes from the stimulus they're getting at home from their parents, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Again, if you wanted to.
If I go back to where we talked about, you mentioned coordination earlier. The first time we took my daughter from going from breastfeeding, started putting her into solid food. She'd been sat there watching us eat for months and months.
Mm.
The first time I walked over to her with a bowl, with a spoon in it, she wanted to grab the spoon. She already knew what to do, and she wanted to have a go. And literally, I let her have the spoon, put it in her hand, and she actually, first time, put it in her mouth. Straight away.
Yeah.
I then went, I've got to record this. Stuck it in my phone. Doing recording. She picks it up and then pokes it in her eye. I burst out laughing. She burst out laughing. But there's that process. She already knows how to eat based off the culture of the environment around her. My choice then as a parent was, do I let her use a spoon over and over again? And within a few weeks, like, I was at work, obviously. I come back and then I'm at home one day and she's eating and I wanted to be there with her. And all of a sudden she's gone from wanting to take the spoon to leaning forward and opening her mouth. Like, that coordination has been, that ability to develop coordination has gone because as a parent, we make a decision that we don't have time to let the kid develop the coordination to eat. We just want them to eat, so we feed them. So then they're missing out on those months of actually developing coordination to eat because we as parents are making it convenient to ourselves to speed up the process. So they're missing out. So now is my daughter, when she goes to school, would she be better at hand-eye coordination sports because I let her eat with a spoon from the age of...
But that is the point.
6 months versus...
Or is she going to be better at hand-eye coordination because her dad used to play football and for a pretty decent level? Have you passed that down to her?
If I throw a ball at her because I want her to catch a ball.
No, I agree with you. I don't think it's just one or the other. I don't think it's just nature. I think people are...
There's a structural genetics, which I will agree with you on.
Yeah.
The structural genetics and how long your bone is.
Yes.
I think that, that's fine. Well, I'll give you that. But in terms of neurological genetics or DNA, that can be learned skills and that where neural networks are formed, I think if we agree that a skill is learned via a neural network,
yes,
and it's being programmed by a neural network. And I think your classic example there of having the kids to program neural networks from a very early age, in my head, the environment we create for kids, athletes, is what develops them. It's not necessarily what they're born with.
There's the studies on that in football, where they're actually saying that the difference between the ability of a boy to cope with a football, playing with a football versus a girl, and how natural it's much more natural it seems with a boy to a girl, is because of a boy might be exposed to a football from the age of 3, whereas a girl actually might not be given a football until she goes to primary school, so they actually miss out on that neural networking.
But you see that in the like CrossFit world as well, don't you? Like, girls, and I don't mean to generalise, but girls tend to struggle more with things like push-ups, pull-ups, etc., because they're not exposed to it, whereas guys generally are. And I can completely agree with that. If you're not exposed to it, then you're not going to be naturally just good at it. But I think, and if you've practiced a skill and honed your abilities in that skill, again, you're going to be better at it. But I think that naturally people have tendencies towards one thing or towards another thing. I don't think that's all about what you're exposed to.
No, and I think you're right that we can't prove either way. I mean, we sat to look at doing some research for this, and research into genetics is
not ethical.
It's also a huge topic and massively, massively researched. And I think as coaches, what we can control is the environments we're creating, and having that awareness that I think it's very easy to say, yeah, it's genetics. He can never do that, or she should never be able to do that, or he can do that. I think the type of coach or parent I would like to be would be the one that says, well, why can't they?
Mm.
And try to create that for them, and I think really you can see it. I think as long as the possibilities are open and they're allowed to develop, and athletes and kids are allowed to develop, I think they'll always be able to learn new skills. And I think the good example is that, like, jazz is making a success. When something becomes a success, they have the feel-good factor. Why is it when they feel good and they feel that they're good at it, they do more of it and then they get better at it? Creating that momentum, I think, is really important. And for me, is far more important. Because even if it is genetics, we can't do anything about it anyway.
No, exactly.
But what we know we can do stuff about is the nurture side of things.
What do you think about these... we've seen the DNA testing.
Oh, yeah. I've seen this.
For your exercise.
Yeah, and what you should eat and things as well. What it talks about nutrition, doesn't
what
it?
What you should eat, yeah. What you should eat, how you should exercise, whether you... it's mainly aimed at fat loss, right?
I think
is
so.
Is it more about the body composition?
Yeah, I think
like
so. Yeah.
You looking good, say that if you train...
Aesthetically, you're going to be...
If you train... So if you're more predisposed to power-based training, then you'll lose fat by doing the power side of things. Fat. Whereas if you're aerobic-based, you'll lose more body fat if you do the aerobic training, for example. Is that throwing a spanner in into the conversation?
No, it's a wonderful point because I mean, if we're going to say that if I'm going to argue that it's more about nurture than it is nature, then I should really disagree with that. but at the same time, I think there must be some mileage in it. I think they're a long, long, long way off, and I think what they've got now is, how do I say this as diplomatically as possible? What they've got now is just a product, and I wouldn't even classify it as an educated guess, but it's a guess of what people should do. But the concept or the idea of it is right. It's just another one of those sort of bring it to market, try and earn some money out of it rather than doing the job properly. The concept of being able to analyse someone's DNA and see which type of foods or exercises they're susceptible to, there's probably some mileage in that, I would imagine. I would imagine that there's something in it. What do you say,
Jim? It's a bit big brothery, isn't it? I know that sounds really daft, but if you're looking at people's... To look at somebody's DNA, like you said, I think it's miles off from where they are with it. You can't... I don't know. I just don't think that I would use that product or ask someone to use it. Because DNA obviously influences what type of food that might work for you or what you're predisposed to doing or having or be better at necessarily. But, like you said, an educated guess maybe.
I think the thing for me as well from that psychological standpoint is what if my athlete's doing a sport... They get a DNA test because they just think it'll be a good idea, and the DNA test comes back saying, "Oh, well, you're not predisposed to that sport anyway."
Yeah.
Do I just stop because I'm not predisposed to do it, and that just takes away the enjoyment factor? Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, well, unlucky. Like, the reason that they're doing the sport is.
But it's those boxes I talked about before. Is that you sort of get this role of your. From your parents of he's the smart one or he's the silly one or he's the funny one or he's the one who called it football and I think a lot of that you said it recently about you'd be looking at schools for your little one and you want to choose a school with the most sport because sport's important to you but the Kate might want to find the school that's got the most art because she's very artistic and it is those paths you push or not meant in a nice way, but you push your kids down that road, telling them what they're good at, or telling them what they're bad at, or putting them into those boxes is very dangerous, and that's what you're talking about there with the DNA testing. You said, okay, right, we're testing your DNA, we're putting you into a box, and I wouldn't mind it if we could sort of. Of course, you can always argue everything, but I wouldn't mind it if it was even a little bit more detailed than it is now. But it is, you're not testing someone's DNA and telling them they can run fast here. We're a long, long way from that. I don't say that won't be possible at some point, but they can't do that. I doubt very much they can even tell you the types of food you should be eating, to be honest. But to put an athlete or a young child in a box based on a DNA test, I think it's very dangerous. Putting them in any kind of boxes.
It's not ethically right, is it?
No, it's not. Just,
yeah.
It's not. I would love to be, of course there are lots of psychological research and lots of psychological papers on putting people in different situations and seeing how they behave and seeing what they do and how they follow crowd culture or, you know, the there's a fantastic book. I know we're moving a little bit off topic. There's a fantastic book that I'm reading at the moment about the Nazis in World War II, and it's called Ordinary Men. And these guys are just ordinary fathers and husbands, really nice guys, actually. They have a beer with each other on the weekends and go to a football game. And then they wake up Monday morning, they put their suits on, and they went and put Jewish people in chambers and push the button. And it was their job, and it was just conformity, because that was that they were, that was the what they were brought up in, and that was what they were told to do. And actually, it's an incredible book, because it really describes how these are just nice guys following a system, or
normal people following.
Yeah, following a system. So that works both positively and negatively in the sporting environment, and what we're creating for our guys in sports, or for our children, is allowing them to nurturing them, and allowing them not to be placed in those categories or those boxes that pretty much the sales world would like us to do. It suits them to be in boxes, because then you've got a problem that I can fix you, and I can sell to you, and I've got a product I can
market to you.
The first thing you do when you go on any kind of sales course is learn how to put people in boxes. And then when you find the box, that's how you communicate with them, that's how you talk to them, and that's how you sell to them. But then when you put me in that box, you make me the person I am as well. It works both ways, which I think is very interesting. And a huge missing area in sport, I think, especially in children's development. I mean, we've come a long way with it now. And like I said, you can't change the genetics anyway. If it is genetics, we can't change it. So we might as well focus on the areas we can change in terms of the nurture side of things.
Yeah, so which one is it?
Yeah, exactly. So
I think we agree that, yeah, the potential there affects the potential at the top end.
Yeah.
But exposure, culture, environment that you've on been brought up in.
On a normal athletic level, it is like you said, about what your experiences that you put through. And you mentioned it before, actually, Phil, about the positive experiences and how we can try and encourage that with athletes as well. So we can, as coaches, etc., you can, or physios, you can give people positive experiences and try and get them to give themselves positive experiences with regards to training as well. So,
I think, like,
which will push.
Michael Jordan is my sporting idol, and like, having watched documentaries and things on him in the past, there was one of the films covering his life had him back at university and saying he was staying in his room studying, and his mate was like, "Oh, are you coming out for a drink?" And he was like, "No, I'm not coming out for a drink." And he's like, "Oh, what are you doing with yourself?" He's like, "Well, that's why I'm the brightest man in the team and the best man on the team, because I put more time in than anybody else does. I make all the right decisions all the time." And when he was in off season, he'd still be in, he'd go in and he'd work on the next skill to give him the extra half a yard that he needed to be able to make the shot that no one could cope with.
Yeah.
So that ability, or those genetics, have backed up with application, dedication. It doesn't just...
It's funny.
I think that the guys at the top, they've got all of those attributes. Like, no one gets to the top. Like, Ronaldo, I was lucky enough to be playing at Manchester United when Ronaldo was there. And he would go, all the first team had gone in, we were finishing up our session, and he was staying out, running up and down the hills. He's one of the best top two players in the world. Yeah. Like, he's not got there by chance.
No, exactly.
He's got there because he wanted to put in.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's funny, isn't it? How many top athletes you sit with or interview or see interviewed, and you say, "Okay, what do you owe your success to?" None of them say, "Oh, I was born with it. I'm a legend." You know, none of them.
My mum and dad.
I see that. Yeah.
Mum and dad are just.
Dad was a legend, so I'm a legend.
Super soldier program.
Exactly.
Captain America.
You know, we're not talking about clones here. Well, they all say the same thing. It's through hard work. I knuckled down and I got it done. And I think it's just. For me, it's just so easy just to play the genetics game and say, "Oh well, I'm a girl, so I can't do this," or I'm a, you know, I just think it's awful. It's so restrictive, and it is. It's And as I said before previously, we can't change our genetics anyway. So what we can change is the environments we're creating for ourselves and then for the people around us. And I think that then there's a lot of power in it. There's a lot of power in then creating these great athletes. Because, yeah, they all say the same. They all say the same is through hard work. None of them say I'm lucky. Oh, sorry. None of them say I'm lucky. None of them say I'm... yeah, Dad was a legend. Any closing thoughts? Have we convinced you, Gemma?
I think so. I wasn't entirely unconvinced, but I just have... I think there's got to be two sides to every story, every discussion.
You are the balance. You do bring balance to the
forums, don't
you?
I think it goes, I mean, similar subject as, I don't know, is it British culture? Is it just British culture? Is this culture across the world? Kind of going back to our drugs conversation, do we just sit there and turn around and just go, oh, well, he's very, yeah, look at him, he's got the genetics. Or,
yeah.
Oh, look at him, oh, yeah, he's probably on steroids.
No, I totally agree.
And
we all just sit there
and just go, oh, well, he must have good genetics or he must have steroids because why am I not there?
There's a level of complacency, isn't there?
Yeah.
Say, and also, we love an excuse. There likes to be an excuse why you're not there. And it's instead of saying, it's because I work significantly harder than everyone else or whatever, it's because you want it to be down to genetics. Just as a quick anecdote, I said earlier on that I'm not designed to be an Olympic weightlifter because I've got long femurs and long arms. I know somebody who's got longer femurs and longer arms than me that can lift significantly more than I can because he trains and works so much harder all the time than I do. So it is an excuse that, I'm not going to be in the Olympics, but...
I mean, a lot of people, they say, oh, you know, it's 98% hard work and 2% talent. And it's an old cliche, and it's perhaps a one we shouldn't use because it's an old cliche, but I don't think it's far wrong. I think it's that, you know, we must concede that your bone length is your bone length and your muscle fibre types. I mean, even muscle fibre types, there's a huge body of research that says that can be changed or not changed or worked with, and the way you metabolize foods and stuff is again trainable, we've seen. So I think it's just, again, it's another one, a restrictive word, the genetics word, is a very restrictive, and I think that the geniuses that are out there researching genetics, they should be allowed to continue that research, but don't think, oh, I have a feeling they're never going to prove that that's what everything comes down to.
No.
A great example is you've had, there's very few examples of this, of course, but you've had twins who are separated at birth and lived in different countries, and then you've had them brought back together and seen how different they are. And they grew in the same womb together, but unfortunately were separated at birth. And you see... It's the differences in those guys that have just been, and it is, of course, you can't use that as one example, but on the other hand, you have two people who are not from the same mother but are adopted, and then they grow up in the same house and they become very similar people.
Yeah.
So it's a lot to do with the culture that they're growing up in and that they're being exposed to. Good, guys. Any closing thoughts?
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Nice little discussion.
Yeah. I think we need a coffee.
Oh.
Shine in the dark.
Gemma owes us a coffee, actually.
I was hoping you'd forget.
Never forget.
What did we break? What was the...
We hit the 2,000 listener mark, and I think she was due a coffee at like... 500 or something. So we're way past. So we're all going to go and...
Could do it after the early start, eh?
Watch Gemma.
Yeah.
Drink a coffee.
I'm not looking forward
should
to
we
it.
Should we film it?
No.
And when are you putting when are you putting the dancing out?
Oh, we're way off from that.
Oh, are we? What did we need for dancing?
Oh, I've forgotten. I have to listen back.
Okay.
No, it was 3,333.
Oh, so we're not way off yet.
Just, I suppose we're just over halfway, aren't we? 66% almost.
I don't think I was confident enough.
No.
I don't know where 500 came from.
You'll think it through better next time, won't you, Matt?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good. Take it easy out there, team.